Our final scripture reading this morning comes from the book of 1 Samuel, and I'll be reading from chapter 3, verses 1 through 20, and just for fun, I'm going to throw in verse 21 also. Now the boy Samuel was ministering to the Lord under Eli the priest. The word of the Lord was rare in those days. Visions were not widespread. At that time, Eli, whose eyesight had begun to grow dim so that he could not see, was lying down in his room. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God was. Then the Lord called, "Samuel! Samuel!" And he said, "Here I am." And he ran to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." But Eli said, "I did not call. Go lie down." So Samuel went and lay down. The Lord called again, "Samuel." And Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." But he said, "I did not call you, my son. Lie down again." Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, and the word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. The Lord called Samuel again a third time, and he got up and he went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." Then Eli perceived that it was the Lord calling the boy. Therefore Eli said to Samuel, "Go lie down. And if he calls you, you shall say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. Now the Lord came and stood there, calling as before, "Samuel, Samuel." And Samuel said, "Speak, for your servant is listening." Then the Lord said to Samuel, "See, I am about to do something in Israel that will make both ears of anyone who hears it tingle. On that day, I will fulfill against Eli all that I have spoken concerning his house from beginning to end. For I have told him that I am about to punish his house forever for the iniquity that he knew, because his sons were blaspheming God, and he did not restrain them. Therefore, I swear to the house of Eli that the iniquity of Eli's house shall not be expiated or atoned for by sacrifice or offering forever." Samuel lay there until morning. Then he opened the doors of the house of the Lord, and Samuel was afraid to tell the vision to Eli. But Eli called Samuel and said, "Samuel, my son." And he said, "Here I am." Eli said, "What was it that he told you? Do not hide it from me. May God do so to you and more also if you hide anything from me of all that he told you." So Samuel told him everything and hid nothing from him. Then Eli said, "It is the Lord. Let him do what seems good to him." As Samuel grew up, the Lord was with him and let none of his words fall to the ground. And all Israel from Dan to Beersheba knew that Samuel was a trustworthy prophet of the Lord. The Lord continued to appear at Shiloh, for the Lord revealed himself to Samuel at Shiloh by the word of the Lord. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Last week, while I was home in Pennsylvania for a little bit of vacation, I had the opportunity to have breakfast with my own personal Eli. His name is John Porter, and he was the associate pastor in charge of the youth group at my home church when I was in high school. So from 10th to 12th grade, he was the grown-up that I knew the best, the grown-up who tolerated my teenage awkwardness with grace, and he was the person I most associated with the voice of God. The decision to become a pastor was kind of a long and winding road for me, and there were plenty of people along the way telling me that this is what I should do. But they could never tell me why. And I was a little suspicious because they couldn't ever articulate why they thought it was a good idea. They just thought it made sense. So I was as confused as Samuel. Also, like Samuel, it turns out the voice that I was hearing through all of these people indeed was God's voice. I just didn't know it yet. It wasn't until John sat me down, we had lunch at a restaurant, and I remember I had my favorite southern fried chicken salad with the cheddar garlic ranch dressing on it. Oh, it was so good. And over that salad, John sat me down, and much like Eli sits Samuel down, he explained things to me so that I began to sense that God was indeed calling me to be a pastor, as much as I had been kind of dragging my heels about it. In that conversation, God's voice sounded an awful lot like John's. John's voice, which is gentle with a healthy dose of dry humor, that if you're not paying attention, you miss it completely. On that day, for me, God's voice sounded like John. For Samuel, God's voice sounded a lot like Eli. So much so that the three times he hears God calling him in the night, he gets up and he goes to Eli, the priest who is mentoring him as he lives and serves in the temple. Samuel doesn't quite comprehend what's going on, so he turns to the adult in his life whom he trusts the most to help him understand. In many ways, Eli is like God. He is full of wisdom and full of patience, particularly as this kid keeps waking him up in the middle of the night. So when Samuel comes to him a fourth time after hearing a voice calling his name, Eli perceives that something extraordinary is happening. He recognizes that this extraordinary thing is a new beginning for Samuel. And he realizes that it means Eli's time is coming to an end. In fact, the message that God gives to Samuel that night is as much for Eli as it is for Samuel. God says he is rejecting Eli's household because of his two worthless sons who did what was right in their own eyes instead of walking in the ways of the Lord. Samuel is understandably reluctant to tell Eli what God had said to him. But eventually he gives in to Eli's prodding. Listening to the news of his impending doom, Eli responds, "It is the Lord. Let him do what seems good to him." As Eli watches his legacy diminish, he sees Samuel's role as God's new priest begin to flourish. Their roles are now reversed. Samuel, who was once young and dependent on Eli, is now the one with the authority and the power. But together they are obedient, just as they were at the beginning of the story, though their circumstances are drastically different now. They both accept God's verdict, God's judgment, which offers power and authority to Samuel and nothing but grief and humiliation to Eli. Eli has nurtured Samuel in obedience to God, and his final act is to continue to encourage Samuel to choose obedience to God as his own way of living. He wants him to be obedient not because Eli is telling him to be obedient, but because Samuel himself wants to be obedient. For many years, God spoke to Samuel through Eli. But now it's time for Samuel to learn to hear God's voice on his own. It's a common theme. You can open up the Bible to almost any page and you will hear and read about God's voice speaking to someone like he speaks to Samuel. To Moses, God sounds like this disembodied voice hovering around this bush that's on fire but not burning up. And that bush tells him to take off his shoes, for he is standing on holy ground. To Elijah, God's voice sounds still and small, not loud like an earthquake or a fire. For Joseph, God speaks through dreams. Barak the general didn't believe God's voice until Deborah the judge confirms it for him. For Philip and Nathaniel, God's voice is the voice of Jesus. Most of these folks on this list, when they first heard a voice telling them something, they doubted that it was God, or they at least wondered, could it be God speaking to them? They all needed a little extra convincing, sometimes directly from God, and sometimes, like Barak and like Samuel, they needed to hear the confirmation from another person. In each case, once the people understand it really is God who is speaking to them, they stop and they listen, not just with their ears, but with their hearts as well. And in every case, God calls each person to be a servant and gives them a purpose for their life, some sort of task to accomplish. Moses is charged with leading the people out of slavery in Egypt. Elijah is given a pep talk because he's hiding in this cave because he thinks the world is ending around him. So he gets a little pep talk and God sends him back out again. Joseph rises through the ranks to an unlikely position of power. Barak and Deborah go out and win the battle that God told them they were going to win. And Philip and Nathaniel, they drop their nets to follow Jesus. Even today, when God speaks, as I believe God still is speaking, more often than not, a commission or a charge or a task will follow. And while you might think it's always the pastor who's the Eli, anyone can be an Eli. Anyone can help someone listen and hear God's voice. In particular, we believe that God speaks through the nominating committee. Remember when we elected that nominating committee earlier this year? The committee sometimes nobody wants to serve on, and if you miss the meeting, sometimes you end up serving. Yeah, that committee. We believe God speaks through the nominating committee. They are given the task of identifying those whom God is calling to be leaders among us. They're the Eli for the Samuels among us. In turn, these new leaders are charged with being servant leaders within the body of Christ in general, and within the walls of this congregation in particular. I say all this because in just a few minutes we will celebrate those who have been called to be leaders this year. People who, like Samuel, are responding to that call with obedience. It is good for us all to remember that God often calls us when we least expect it, and when we feel the least qualified. But the God who calls us is the one who has searched us and known us and is acquainted with all our ways, even the ones we prefer not to think about. God knows all about us and loves us anyway, and calls us anyway. It is a simple call, but it is a hard call, to live our lives pursuing the task that God has given to us. And until we are ready to hear God's voice on our own, we give thanks for those who have been Eli to our Samuel, teaching us how to hear God's voice. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.